Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Father, thank you again for your goodness to us. As we celebrated communion this morning, we were reminded that in this Christmas time, the reason Jesus came was to die, that our sins could be forgiven. Father, as we look at your word today, I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that you would do whatever it is that you want to do in and through us. I pray that when we leave this place a little while later, that we'll go forth changed. And Lord, that having been here would enable us to be used by you in our world, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplace, wherever it is that we go from day to day. Father, we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5 in just a couple of moments. In fact, we're only going to look at a couple of verses, verses 14 through 16. And I want to start off by talking about Christmas decorations. How many of you love to decorate for Christmas? I mean, Christmas time, it's like get it all out, do it all, you know, lots and lots and lots of Christmas decorations. How many of you put decorations outside? Don't worry, I'm not going to make fun of you if you do, okay? I don't want you to get, like, I don't know if I should raise my hand or not. All right. We never have been really big outside decoration people, but inside, you know, we like to make the decorations. And our schedule has been so crazy this Christmas that we planned ahead. I actually put our Christmas tree up earlier this year than I think I have ever done before in my life. Now, I didn't just leave it up from last year, but because my wife was going to be making a couple of trips, I set it up several weeks before Thanksgiving. And it basically was set up. Here's how we do it. I set the tree up. I put the lights on it. Our tree came with lights, but our tree's old enough the lights that are on the tree don't work anymore. So I set the tree up and I put extra lights on them that do work. And then it just sits until my wife has time to put the ornaments on it. And she usually does it like right away that same night. But when I set it up, she was in Memphis. So after she got back, she had the grandkids over and they decorated the tree. And so we've had that decorated for a while. All right. I know some people, they wait till the last minute because they want that just real intense experience of celebrating Christmas. Other people start celebrating Christmas way early, and that's fine. But there's just something neat about the Christmas decorations. It puts you in the spirit. It brings joy to your life in some ways. And I know there's a lot of people that really go all out with the outside decorations. And, you know, you see stuff on Facebook and other places of people that, you know, they decorate their house with lights. And it's like it probably doubles or triples their electric bill, you know. And then they get real fancy and they have music playing and it all goes on and off with the music and all that. Very, very interesting, very entertaining. I'm sure that probably most of you have at some time or another, maybe even every year, taken time to just drive around areas of the city or areas of the neighborhood where people decorate their houses just to look at the lights, right? You know, think about all the Christmas decorations that we do. We decorate trees, we decorate the outside of our house, various other things on the inside of the house. For a while, we had even had a toilet seat cover with a picture of the Grinch on it, you know. Just all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, we do to decorate. But what would our Christmas decorations be like without lights? Pretty poor, wouldn't it? You know, people decorate for all kinds of holidays. In fact, nowadays it seems like it's popular to decorate for every possible holiday you can think of. I mean, it used to be that people just went all out for Christmas and other holidays. Maybe, you know, something. But now there are people that decorate their yards and their houses and all kinds of stuff for all kinds of holidays. But if you really think about it, for the most part, lights primarily have to do with Christmas. There's just something about lights, and Christmas. Everybody uses lights. And I can't even imagine the limited amount of decorating we do compared to other people, how diminished it would be without the lights. In fact, when I'm home around Christmas time, or any time after we've put up the tree and decorated it, if I'm home, I want the Christmas tree lights plugged in. All right. It's just there's just something about walking through the living room and you got the tree. You know, you unplug it and it seems like the thing dies. Still pretty, but it's just not the same. The light. There's something about the light. It wouldn't be much fun to go around and to drive around at night to look at all the beautiful houses decorated for Christmas if the lights weren't plugged in. Think about that for a minute. There wouldn't be anything to see. The lights are the whole thing. I want to talk a little bit about light today. You know, light is very, very important, totally apart from decorating. You know, one of the complaints that many people have about Marion Oaks is that if you come here at nighttime and you don't stay on the main roads, both of them, or however, you know, whatever, you know, where there's light, it's very easy to get lost. It took me years to get used to some of the other roads around here, and there's still some places I won't go at night, not because I'm afraid, I'm just afraid I won't be able to find my way back out. And I'm pretty familiar with the roads now from riding my bike and all that kind of stuff and being here 11 years, but, you know, there's not enough lights. There's something about light. Now, obviously, we like the light, not only to find our way around, but to feel protected, because bad things happen in the dark. But even in our homes, as well as we know our homes, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to go through a room, I really would prefer the light on, even though I know where the furniture is. Now, if you live in a home where your wife moves the furniture while you're gone, you definitely want the lights on, okay? But it's too easy to stub your toe, to fall over something. The light reveals. When you think about light, even apart from its usefulness, it's very symbolic of hope. I don't know about you, but if I'm feeling a little down, a little depressed, I don't get that way very often, but just tired, and being in the darkness just makes it worse. But when there's light, it seems to bring life. It brings hope. And that's totally apart from any spiritual concept. But we find that that is the spiritual concept in the Bible also. In the Bible, you find that light is associated with that which is good, that which is right. We find in the Bible that light dispels darkness, not just physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. That light points the way to truth. It warns us. It guides us. And in the Bible, the dark usually symbolizes that which is bad, that which is sinful, that which is evil. And you know, I think that that's kind of a principle that's even kind of just a part of our human nature. People that don't even believe in God, there's just that sense that the darkness is the place where evil dwells. The darkness is the place of danger. The darkness is the place that you want to avoid if at all possible. I think it's something that God has actually built into the universe. The Bible tells us that God is light. Jesus said that He is the light of the world. In John 8:12, He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in the Bible, it's often talked about that, you know, we are in darkness. I think I'm going to read some scriptures here in just a minute about that. But that Jesus offers light. He offers hope. And we come to Him to be able to partake of that light, to live in that light, to walk in that light. In John 12:46, Jesus said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in Me may not remain in darkness. When we think of the gospel, the good news, the Bible defines the good news as this, that before you have good news, you have bad news. And the bad news is that we are all sinners separated from God. And it's our sin that puts us in the darkness. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, there is darkness inside every single one of us. And there's a darkness that's in this world. We live in a very dark place. Now, it's not just darkness. Because God created this world. And He created it, or when He created it good. And sin, and the entrance of sin into this world, has brought darkness, spiritual darkness. It's twisted things. It's destroyed certain things. It's caused things to not be able to function in its true form. So there's a lot of darkness in this world. This world is a mixture of darkness and light. We can see some of the goodness of what God created that still shines through, both in creation and in people. But there is a lot of darkness. I think many times we'd prefer to ignore it. We'd prefer not to pay attention to it. We'd prefer to think that it's not really there, but that we can't help but coming across it and coming face to face with it. When we see things that have happened in our country in the last couple of months, actually over the last several years, but it seemed to be escalating, instances of violence. And we become more and more aware of issues of abuse of all sorts and shapes. And I don't want to focus a lot on that. We realize that there is a great darkness that dwells within mankind. But as I said, even though we may not want to admit it, we have to, in being honest, recognize that there is a certain amount of darkness in each and every one of us. Because we all have sinful natures. We all are capable of things we'd like to think that we would not ever do. But how many times have we done something and said, I never thought I would ever do that? The darkness. We all need to be delivered from our darkness. As I started out saying, that's the bad part of the news, and why the good news is so good is that we are all sinners separated from God. The best of us have a need for forgiveness of our sins. But there's nothing we could do about it. But the Bible says that that's exactly why Jesus came. As we mentioned during communion, Jesus came specifically to die. Jesus was born specifically to die. As God, He was sinless. And He arranged things so that His death upon the cross paid the price for our sins. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we trust in Him for our salvation, we can be saved from our sins. And in this passage, or in these passages we've read about, it characterized that as light. We live in a dark world. We have darkness within us, but Jesus died for our sins. And when we trust in Him, He brings light to our lives. Forgiveness of sins. And that's the good news, the gospel. And my prayers that good news would shine forth brightly at Christmas time. Now, what I want to share with you this morning is true all year round. But I want to challenge you this year at Christmas time to put into practice what we're going to talk about. And that is that even though Jesus Himself said, I am the light of the world, He also said, you are the light of the world. He told His disciples that. And I believe that He told them that not just for them personally, but for all who would follow them, for all who would choose to follow Jesus Christ, to accept His gift of salvation, to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to become, quote, Christians. He says, you are the light of the world. And that takes us to our passage today, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It's right toward the beginning of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The time when Jesus gives an extended passage of teaching to His people. And it says here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I want to talk to you today about letting your light shine. I've entitled my message, Let Your Light Shine. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. Now that may raise a question. If Jesus is the light, how can we be the light? Well, I'll be honest with you. In and of ourselves, we are not the light, and we cannot have the light, and we cannot shine the light. We are the light of the world in the sense that if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that He comes to dwell within us by His Holy Spirit. And He's at work in our lives. In fact, the Bible says that when we become a new creation, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are a new creation. And the good part of the good news is that the darkness that is within us, the sin that is within us, Jesus forgives us of, but He actively is at work in our lives, and we have to cooperate with that. We've got to do our part. But He's changing us from the inside out. To get rid of the sin, to get rid of the sinful habits, to get rid of the darkness that is there. And as He is at work within our lives, His light, He's the light, but the light shines through us. So we are the light of the world in the sense that when we have a relationship with God, Jesus dwells within us and His light shines through us. And it's only as we allow Jesus to shine through us that we can be the light of the world. I had kind of two illustrations that came to mind when I was thinking about this. I was thinking about a home with the lights turned on inside and how brightly they might shine or might not shine outside. First of all, if a light is going to shine brightly through a window in a house, it has to be turned on, right? That makes sense. And in the same way, for the light of God to shine through your life, He must be in your life. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you, I challenge you, I invite you to come to know Him today. You might say, well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, there are some people that are good, but good is always something you compare to something else. You may be a great person compared to somebody else, but you still have sin in your life. I like to think that I'm trying to be a good person. I know that if any goodness I have, it's only because of God's working in my life and He's helping me to do that. But I realize I'm not a good person on the inside. Not all by myself. I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And I'm so thankful I had the opportunity to accept Jesus as my Savior 45 years ago when I turned 10. Okay. Yes. See, I caused myself to lose my train of thought. So anyway, we all need a Savior. And so the light has to be on. There we go. I got to get back to my, I told you I'm only half here. Because my wife's in India, so my better half's gone. So, the light must be on. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ for His light to shine through your life. And so the light must be on in the house. But yet, not only must the light be on, but there must be some way for that light to get out. You know, because we all know what it's like. You can have shutters up at your windows. You can have blinds up at your windows. You can have curtains up at your windows. And that's a good thing, okay? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But spiritually speaking, if we want to be the light of the world, we need to not only have the light on in our life, but we must have those windows wide open. We must be the shutters pulled open. We must have the curtains open wide for the light to shine. Now, there's a spiritual application of that. Sometimes we have the light inside, but we're not letting it light, let it shine very brightly outside of our lives. And I'll come back to that a little bit later. So in that sense, when Jesus is a part of our life, He's inside of us, His light can shine through us as we cooperate Him. The second illustration I thought of was the moon. Because, you know, the moon can shine very brightly in the sky, but scientifically and literally speaking, the moon is not shining at all. The moon has no light of itself. The brightness of the light that comes off of the moon is just a reflection of the sun. In fact, just recently, time, it seems to be so strange the way things have been. I can't remember exactly how long ago it was, but it was a big deal that there was going to be a total eclipse of the moon. How many of you went out trying to see the total eclipse of the moon? Several of you. Okay. I didn't bother. I think we had some bad weather that day. I think it was kind of hard to see if I remember correctly. But I saw some really awesome pictures from various places across our country and even around the world with this total eclipse of the moon where the light basically went out or it was so dark. Why was it? It was because something came between the moon and the sun. Something really big, like the earth. And I think the same thing is true as we talk about us being the light of the world. We are only the light of the world in the sense that Jesus' light shines through us or that Jesus' light reflects off of us. If we think of the picture of the light of the sun reflecting off of the moon. But sometimes the moon is brighter than others. What is it that causes the light of the moon to become dim? It becomes dimmer because something comes between the light of the sun and the moon. And again, it's the earth. In the case of a total eclipse, the earth totally blocks the light of the sun from the moon. And in the same way, as we seek to be the light of the world, to fulfill what Jesus says can be true of us, our lights can be dimmed when something comes between us and Jesus. He wants to shine brightly through us. He wants to shine brightly by reflecting off of us. But if we allow something to come between us and God, between us and Jesus, it dims our light and our capacity to be a light in this world. To the extent that we allow Jesus to control our lives and we submit to His will and we seek to obey Him and allow the Holy Spirit to change us into His image, His light can shine through us. We here at Marion Oaks Assembly of God have both a mission statement and a vision statement. The mission statement basically says that we exist because we want to help people, whoever God brings to us, to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Because that's what Jesus calls us to be, and we want to help people do that however we can. But our vision statement says this: Marion Oaks Assembly of God is a light shining in the darkness, showing people of all nations to Jesus Christ, who is the way to salvation, healing, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That vision statement has been a part of this church long before I ever came here. I don't know which pastor worked with the congregation to come up with that vision statement. But I love it. It says that we want to be a light shining in this dark world, a light of hope, a light of help, a light that points to the truth, a light that points to salvation. In fact, it mentions very specifically where that light is shining to Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Just a side note, another part I like about it is that it is shining in the darkness, showing people of all nations. I love the fact that we are a multicultural church. You know, that's the way it's going to be in heaven, so we probably ought to get used to it down here too. But anyway, we are called to be a light. So he says, you are the light of the world. He gives another illustration, Jesus does. He says, a city on a hill. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And that is so true. I don't know where all you're from, but if you're from a big city, I don't know if it's from a big from a hill or not. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and it's big enough that it's on the hills and in the valley. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but it's right on the Ohio River. And we just went there a couple of weeks ago. We went up there for Thanksgiving, and whenever we go up there, we always arrive at night because we drive, and we have to drive pretty much all day long to get there. And that's after spending the night in Georgia. But anyway, whenever we get there, I don't know if you've ever driven up I-75 going through Kentucky, and then you're going to cross over the river to go into Cincinnati. But on the Kentucky side, there's a whole lot of hills. Now, here in Florida, we call them mountains because, you know, we don't have anything like that. But up there, they're only called hills. But anyway, they're very, very high. And as you're driving across northern Kentucky, you're going through all these little towns, some big towns, whatever. And you're getting closer and closer and closer to the Ohio River in Cincinnati on the Ohio River. But you have to kind of climb up this slope to the top of a hill. And once you crest over that hill, you can see Cincinnati spread all out across the river, all along the riverbank and up into the hills in southern Ohio. And it's a beautiful sight. In fact, my wife took several pictures, put them on Facebook. But you know, you crest over this hill and all of a sudden you just see it all spread out in front of you. And just like most big cities, it's got a beautiful skyline and they light everything up at night and it's just so beautiful. And it says, you know, that'd be kind of hard to hide. Very hard to hide. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's seen for miles. And what that tells us about our lives is that whatever is in our lives will be seen. Even what's inside will eventually be seen if a person hangs around us long enough. No matter how hard we try to hide things, cover them up, put on masks, whatever, if we're around the people long enough, our true self will eventually come out. And Jesus says that shouldn't be something, or hopefully it's not something we need to be ashamed of, but that His presence in our life is light to the world, and just like a city on a hill, it will not be hidden. And then he gives another example here. He says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. I mean, this is just a very logical, almost silly illustration. Why would somebody light a lamp and then put it under a basket or something that's going to totally not allow the light to shine? There's no purpose for it, you know? That's why they put those little switches in your refrigerator. So when you shut the door, the light goes out. What purpose would there be for the light to be on when the door is shut? Now you say, well, how do you know the light goes out? Good question. Just paying attention, he was awake. It's because you push a little button that gets pushed in when the door is shut and it goes out, right? Anyway. But how do you know it works? Well, I guess we don't really know, right? But anyway, again, it illustrates the whole point. What purpose would there be for there to be a light someplace where you can't see it? In fact, he says, when we light a light, we deliberately put it in a place where we can use it, where we can take advantage of it. Last night, I was out in the garage and I was doing some things and I was in a part of the garage where the light did not reach very well and I needed to read something and I'm like, oh man, I need to go and get a flashlight. And then it hit me. No, I got my phone on me. I'm so glad that we can use our phones for so many different things now. Who would ever dream 25 years ago that you could use your phone not only to call people, although most people don't use them for calling people anymore, you know, but we can use it to send messages and texts and emails and surf the internet and use them for flashlights and read books and play games, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I got my phone out and I turned the light on. How much good would it have been if I would have shined that light in my eyes instead of on the thing that I was trying to read? Or how much good would it have been for me to turn that light on and then put it inside of a box, of which I've got several in my garage, and shut the lid and then try to read what I was trying to read? It would have served no purpose at all. We turn on lights so that we can use them for whatever purpose we need light for. And so Jesus gives this example. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And I think the reason he said this is that even though it makes logical sense in the real world, there are so many times that we hide our light. Jesus calls us to be light in this world, but we hide our light. I like what he says here. He says they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. That was a very immediate application of that there. The light that we have, if we know Jesus Christ our Savior, should first of all be a light that shines brightly in our house. If we live in a home where other of our family members do not know Jesus, if anybody should see Jesus in us, they should. Now, we got to be honest, they're also going to see the other part of it too. People that live with us are going to see that we're still not perfect. Well, at least I'm not. Maybe you are. Okay, they're going to know that we're still human. But hopefully, in spite of that, in spite of the things that we're still dealing with, we're still trying to get under control, we're still working with God to see the change in our life, and that'll take place all throughout the rest of our lives. Hopefully, our families will be able to know Jesus lives there. They're not perfect, but Jesus is a part of their life. He says that that light gives light to everyone in the house. But can I tell you, it's more than that. If we really have Jesus in our lives, our light should give light to everybody in our school. Our light should give light to everybody in our workplace. Our light should shine light to everyone who comes across us and knows us in our neighborhood. Or wherever it is that we would go. Well, how do we hide our light? How do we hide our light? There's so many different ways that we could possibly hide our light. Sometimes we hide our light because we're quiet when we should speak up. Now, by that, I'm not saying that God has made you the one to correct everybody. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God has made you His authority to everyone who's a part of your life. But we all know there are times when God is speaking to us. It's like, you know, I really should say something. And how we say it is so important. That's a topic for another message. We always say things in love. We say things with tact. We say things with grace. And there's scriptures to support all that. But we all know that there are times we really should say something and we don't. We're hiding our light. There are times that we just go along with the crowd when we know we should say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be a part of that. Again, not being self-righteous, not being better than anybody else, but just that's just not something I am. That's not something I can do. And if they ask why, we can say because Jesus has made a change in my life. That's something I believe that He wouldn't be pleased with. But sometimes because we're afraid, we end up going along with the crowd and we end up hiding our lights. Sometimes it's we deny the truth. Sometimes we allow sin to get such control in our lives that that sin dims our witness for Christ. We can hide our light by not explaining the truth to others when we have the opportunity, by ignoring the needs of others. When God says, I've made you my representative in this world. Granted, we can't meet everybody's needs, but when God puts us in a place where we know that He's wanting to use us to reach out to others and we decide that, well, it's just too inconvenient or it might cost me something or whatever the reason might be, but we know that we're supposed to do something, that dims our life. So Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, I don't want this message to be a downer. I'm not saying this. I don't believe God has led me to speak this today to be bring a word of condemnation. Now, then may God convict us if there's anything in our life that needs to be changed. But may our attitude be, God, okay, I understand this. You're speaking to my heart and I want to change. And hopefully by the time we leave here in just a couple of minutes, it will be with a joy and with a spring in our step because God's spoken to us. We heard and we're determined we're going to go out and be that light in our world. And so as we get ready to wrap this up, I just want to just share with you a couple of observations, a couple of applications from this little principle that Jesus shared and the little illustrations that He used to make it clear. The first thought is this: my light should shine in the world, not just the church. My light should shine in the world, not just the church. I want to tell you something. It's easy to look good at church. Or easier, put it that way. It's easier to act good at church. It's easier to be good at church. If you are truly a believer, or even if you aren't a believer, but you're trying to look like one, it's easier at church. Because most everybody, not everybody, but most everybody else out there are a believer, or at least they understand what a believer is. You know, it's a comfortable environment to let your light shine, because it's expected. Even people who don't have a relationship with God, if they were to go into a church for any reason, would expect that people would be shining their lights for Jesus, right? They'd be acting like Christians. They would be living that out. They would be expressing spiritual things. It's easy to do at church. And we should. We shouldn't turn off our lights at church. But we can get so caught up into being Christians at church, and then the rest of our lives, the rest of our week, the rest of our world is something a little bit different. But Jesus calls us to be a light in our world, not just the church. And can I tell you that the people out there in the world need the light a whole lot more than we all need it here in the church? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You know, we understand that because at one time we were blind to the light, spiritually speaking. And chances are, if you were to look back over your testimony, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you at some point came across the truth and responded to it by asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior. But chances are that you received that truth through a person or through a number of persons who were letting their light shine. I've said many times that I heard the truth through my mother because of the encounter she had with Jesus Christ, and she let her light shine. We each could probably list several people who have let their light shine in our lives and not only led us to Christ, but perhaps have caused us and allowed us to draw closer to Christ because of the light shining through their lives. And it'd be very easy to be thankful for those people without even thinking about what kind of light am I being. God calls each of us to be a light in our world, not just our church. I think of Paul's testimony. He had many opportunities to give that testimony, especially since he was arrested for his faith and he went through several trials. And he used those opportunities not just to defend himself and to try to get free from his imprisonment, but he used those as opportunities to share the good news. In fact, he used those opportunities to be a light. And one of those times is in Acts chapter 26, verses 17 to 18. He's talking about how God revealed himself to him and he told him something. Paul said that God said to him, "I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." He says, "Paul, I'm sending you specifically to give yourself over full time, to lead people who are in the darkness to the light of Jesus Christ." And he gave his whole life to that. That may not be our lifelong calling in the sense of occupation, but if we know Jesus Christ, he calls us to be that light in the world in which we live. Our light should shine in our family, on our jobs, to our friends, in our schools, even to strangers. So my light should shine in the world, not just to the church. A second thought that I've drawn from this passage is that we are to be light, not just shine light. We are to be light, not just shine light. What does that mean? It means that it should be. It comes from within because of what Jesus Christ has done and is doing in our lives. It's not just because we are trying to make efforts to be a better person, to put on some kind of a mask, to play some kind of a role, but that Jesus Christ is truly making a difference in our lives, and that shines through. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 11, Paul says, "At one time you were darkness, but now you are light." Not just you shine light, but you are light in the Lord. "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." In other words, being a light is not just I need to act in such a way, I need to watch my language, I need to do this, that, and the other because people are watching me. That's not bad advice. But it's that how is Jesus Christ living His life through me? Paul put it in Galatians, it's no longer I that live. I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who is living in and through me. That's a rough paraphrase, but that's basically what he's saying. He's saying, I'm not living by myself, for myself, in my own strength anymore. Jesus died for me, and as far as I'm concerned, that means I died to my old life too. And so now Jesus is living His life through me. So, we are to be light, not just shine light, in every area of our life. Our words, our actions, our attitudes. A third thought here, and there's only four of them. A third thought is this, that God should get the glory from my light, not me. God should get the glory from my light, not me. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The light that shines through us should bring glory to God, should point people to Jesus, not make people think we're wonderful. Now, I understand some of that just takes place. You can be serving God with all your heart, doing things for the right reason, you know, whatever it is that you do for Him, however you let your light shine, and people are going to think you're a good person. There's nothing wrong with that. But do you set out to do that for that purpose? Do you set it out to do what you do and be who you are and try to do the right thing so that people will think you're wonderful? Or are you trying to point them to Jesus Christ? It's interesting that he says this here in the middle of chapter 5. And if you go on and continue to read in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, he's going to jump right in and he's going to have some kind of negative words for people that do all the right things for the wrong reasons. For people who pray, but they don't do it so much to connect with God, but to make themselves look spiritual. For people who give to meet other people's needs, but they're not really doing it to meet other people's needs. They're doing it so that they look like really good people. For people who fast, but not to have a stronger connection and a more humble attitude as they approach God, but it's so that people will look at them and say, oh, look at that wonderful spiritual man or woman of God. You see, what we do is important, but why we do it is significantly important. God should get the glory from my light, not me. Obviously, this means that we're not afraid to let people know about our relationship with God. Otherwise, how would they differentiate between us and other non-Christians who do good? Does this mean that God requires us to make a fool of ourselves? Yes and no. No, in the sense that God doesn't require us to go out and stand on street corners to preach. Unless He calls you to. I'm not downing that. There are certain people God has called to do that. God doesn't call you to get up on the table in your lunchroom at school and start spouting scripture. Again, unless God specifically tells you to do that. I'm not saying that God is calling us to be a fool in that sense, to do things that people are like, that is just really, really strange. I mean, there are times that God tells us to do something that seems kind of foolish. But yes, He does call us to become a fool in the sense that we say, I'm not going to live like the world does. That's not the way I'm going to conduct myself. That's not the way I'm going to treat people. That's not the way I'm going to talk. That's not the way I'm going to live out my sexuality. That's not the way I'm going to... And other people may think we're foolish because of this. So in that sense, yes, God does call us to be a fool for Him. Because we follow His wisdom rather than what the world says is right. So God should get the glory from my light, not me. And that may make us seem foolish or make the things that we do or don't do seem foolish to the people around us. But that's part of shining our light. And then the last thought that I draw from this passage as we wrap this up is that I am responsible for the clarity and the intensity of my light. I am responsible. Now, Jesus is the light, and Jesus is shining His light through me, or His light is being reflected off of me, but I'm the one who's responsible for how clear that light is and how bright that light is. And so as we wrap this up, I go back to the two illustrations that kind of came to me as I was thinking about this light and the light of Christ that should be a part of our lives and shine forth from our lives. If you use the illustration of the home with the light turned on inside, I mean, first of all, the light's got to be turned on. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, is that light seen through your windows? Comparing your life to a house. Or have your windows gotten so dirty and so smudged? Are they covered over with curtains or shutters or blinds? Are you hiding that light from the outside? See, I'm responsible for that. Or if you use the illustration of the moon reflecting the light of the sun, have you allowed something to come between you and your God, your Savior, between you and God, between you and Jesus Christ, that causes that light to be dim? See, I'm responsible for the clarity and intensity of the light that shines through me, that reflects off of me. Now, you may say there's not much that I can do to shine a light. Well, you know what? God doesn't call us to do anything, or God doesn't expect us to do anything that He doesn't call us to do and enable us to do. You may feel like your light is not near as bright as somebody else's, who may be more public, more obvious. That's not important. God never calls us to compare ourselves with anybody else, although we do it all the time. God calls us to compare ourselves to what He has called us to do. And if we do what He calls us to do, to be the light in our world to the best of our ability, that is just fine. Even if it may not seem to be as bright as somebody else's light. This thought just came to me. You know, there's all kinds of lights you can buy. You can buy a flashlight in the store. If you get it at the dollar store, you'll probably turn it on, and it may be bright for about a minute, and it's going to start fading. You don't get much for a dollar. Or you can go out and spend a lot of money on a halogen spotlight. It's going to shine really bright. You see, we are responsible for the clarity and the intensity of our light. But I will tell you this, a little light makes a big difference in the darkness. We see that every year when we have our candlelight communion service. We turn all the lights out and we begin to light the candles, and that very first light is lit, and it's just one little candle. But man, it's amazing what you can see with one little candle when it's totally dark. Don't sell yourself short. You may not feel like you can't make that much difference in your world, but you know what? If you allow Jesus' light to shine through you, you can make a great difference. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Now, this is a message for all year round. I just want to challenge you, especially with the connotation, the correspondence between lights and Christmas lights. And I just want to challenge you this Christmas season, as you have opportunity at your workplace, at your school. I know this is the last week of school. As you gather with family members and friends to celebrate the season, let your light shine. But don't just do it for Christmas. Do it all year round. Let's all stand together. We live in a dark world. You can make a great difference. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place. And Father, the first thing that comes to my mind is I am so thankful, Lord, that You allowed me to see the light when I was a young child. And that You did something within me. You put within me a desire to respond to that, because I believe that even in and of myself, I don't have what it takes to respond to Your light. You have to motivate that within me, because I was dead in my trespasses and sins. God, we thank You that we have the light. And Lord, we live in a place where the light shines so brightly. There are places in the world where Your light is so dim because there are so few people that really know You and know the truth. And we pray that You'd send the light to those parts of the world. And Lord, that's why we're involved in missions. But Father, we thank You that the light is so bright here. And Lord, it's so sad to me to see that Your truth is so readily available in our culture and in our country, but so many people ignore it and reject it. But Lord, it's not just their willful choice. It is that. But the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded them. And Lord, You want to use us to be Your light. There may be people who have heard the truth and they just reject it. But if they would see it lived out, that'd be a whole nother story. Father, I pray that they would see that truth lived out in our lives. God, I pray that You would speak to us today. You already have, but I pray that You'd speak to us personally and particularly. If there's any way in which we are hindering Your light from shining through us, show us, Lord. If there's any way in which we're hiding it, if there's any way we're trying to conceal it out of embarrassment or for some other reason or out of fear, Show it to us, Lord God. I pray that you just help us to decide, you know what? I want to be a light for Jesus. I want people around me to see Jesus in me. I want to make a difference in my world. I want people to see me and say, I want what they have. Father, may that be true of all of us as individuals. And I pray that you'd help us as a church to live up to what our vision statement says, that we will be a light shining in this community. Show us the best ways to do that, Lord. Give us wisdom, insight, and creativity on how we can do it better and in bigger ways and in more effective ways. But Father, I'm firmly convinced, because this is what you communicated, that the best way for this church to be a light in this community is for the people of this church to be a light in their worlds. So Father, help each of us to be that light that you have called us and created us to be.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marionoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marion Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.